The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Well, we've got big problems in our body politic. We need some great fixes here. We need some great relearnings, and we are blessed to have a great teacher, a great political thinker and activist, and a great physician trying to help restore America and renew America's promise. That's Dr. Zudi Jasser. Many of you know him from this radio show, is helping us get through COVID on a weekly basis as our in-house expert. Many of you know him from this show as a guest host of this show. Many of you know him from other activities. But Dr. Zudi Jasser is running for Congress. We're delighted in Congressional District 4 that he is doing so. You can check out his website, z4az.com, making it easy for you. z4az.com. And yesterday he put out a really interesting, important, and timely statement. I don't think anyone else has put out anything like it. Dr. Jasser, it's a privilege to have you back on the show. Welcome back.
Thank you, Seth. It's always great to be with you. Crazy times we're in to see what's happening across our universities.
Unbelievable. Did you see USC just canceled graduation ceremonies because they can't guarantee the safety of everyone? Unbelievable. This isn't a heckler's veto anymore, Zudi, as we know in free speech. This is a rioter's veto. The rioters are shutting down the campuses.
100%. And this is not just, and why are we surprised? I mean, the Black Lives Matter movement went across the country, destroying our cities, tearing down monuments that, not only violently to buildings, but to other human beings. And remember, you and I were talking at the time. Yeah. It was led by some of the most virulent anti-Semites in the country, in the world, the Nation of Islam with Louis Farrakhan and others. And then we were talking about how the Women's March was being led also by a devotee of Louis Farrakhan, and how Ilhan Omar was sort of ignoring that anti-Semitism, if not espousing the same anti-Semitism herself. And now, come October 7, a terror organization, which clearly enacted horrific acts of terror upon the Jewish people as they stepped out of Gaza to go into the neighborhoods and with pogroms kill over 1,400 Jews simply because they were Jewish, simply because they were Israeli. And the world didn't respond with a collective, not on our watch, not now. Instead, we have allowed our universities to continue to be the cauldron that they are. And I'll tell you, you and I were talking, as you know, back in 2008 and 2009, when the Holy Land Foundation board was tried. It took twice, but the second time they were tried because they were funneling money to Hamas. So the DOJ dumped millions into that trial and then retried it, as it exposed all that network in America for funding. These are unindicted co-conspirators of mosques, of Council on American Islamic Relations, etc., that were never able even to remove that name, unindicted co-conspirators, because they were in funding Hamas. And now, as you intimated in your opening today, these organizations, now it's become no longer wrong to even espouse support for Hamas, a terror organization, which our material support laws prohibit from support.
That's right.
And how the Students for Justice in Palestine are not under critique and DOJ observation. That's why we put out this press release yesterday. Is the DOJ should be, our tax monies are funding these universities, and our DOJ should be protecting our students, should be protecting our communities. And instead, they are sitting on their hands and leaning over backwards to let them take over. And you basically have foreign terror operations taking over our domestic schools funded by Qatar, by China, and everywhere. It's insane.
I would only correct one thing, Dr. Jasser, if you'll permit me the correction. You'll probably agree with it. They're not sitting on their hands at the DOJ and Department of Education. They are investigating and deploying federal authorities to investigate certain campuses. Grand Canyon University would be where they find the biggest problems. GCU is their problem. They are spending all these resources to go after GCU. Meanwhile, we have terrorist cells at our major elite universities over which they say nothing. You'll accept that emendation to what you said, probably.
100%, because not only initially they were harassing them with fines and investigations. Last week, the Secretary of Education explicitly said she was going to shut down GCU.
Yeah.
That's what she told Congress.
Yeah.
So here we are. They are openly declaring war on our largest Christian university in the country, which did nothing wrong except teach students Judeo-Christian values that are part of our Constitution. And instead, they want to shut that down and allow radical militants, many of whom are on foreign visas that should be deported as they chant death to America and they chant support of Hamas and all the other things they're screaming from the rooftops and, you know, colonizing our universities to prevent Jewish students from going to Passover services. The Jewish students were told at Harvard, I believe, or was it Columbia?
Columbia,
told to
yeah.
stay,
right.
We're told at Columbia
yeah.
to do a remote
yeah, the remote seders and to study remotely now, too. They are saying they cannot guarantee the safety of Jewish students at Columbia. Can you imagine saying that about any other group? We cannot guarantee your safety here. We cannot guarantee your safety because of other students. It's an incredible moment. So what you did was brilliant. You put out a statement yesterday. People can get it at your Twitter account, Dr. Z for AZ, DRZ for AZ, where you call on the administration, the Department of Justice, to enforce its material support for terrorism laws. People may not know what the material support for terrorism statutes are. Some of them are in the states, but there's definitely a federal one. And it says any organization that provides lodging, financial services, communications equipment, or facilities on behalf of a terrorist organization is in violation of federal law. Hamas is a designated terrorist organization. SJP works with the PFLP, a designated terrorist organization. It's black letter law that won't be enforced.
I mean, and you know, we can talk as much as possible, defend free speech, et cetera, but the free speech, America has the most liberal free speech laws in the planet. But material support of terror is not part of that. Advocating for specific acts of terrorism against a group of people, individual human beings, is not part of the protection of the First Amendment and definitely not part of our legal system that prohibits support of terror groups that are explicitly listed as foreign terror organizations. So, you know, and I would ask anyone who disagrees with that to talk to parents at these schools and ask the kids that are trying to go to the religious services, that feel threatened, that have been poked in the chest as they tried to just simply walk by a demonstration, and ask them how they felt in their sense of American freedom. And it's gone to them. To them, their country is falling apart before them. Families like mine came here to be able to practice their faith more freely than anywhere in the world. And you have basically Islamist movements working with far-left hyper-secularists that are anti-religious, working together to destroy the foundations of this country. And as we've seen in history, history is repeating itself. The Jewish community is always at the head of the spear, always. And that spear is coming to us from China, from Iran, from Hamas, and it's within our country. And we need people in Congress that understand this, because Congress has the tools. Congress is the most potent branch of government, and yet they're doing very little to have the DOJ do what they're supposed to be doing, and Biden's getting no pressure to do so, you know.
He's doing good DOJ people on both sides right now. That's what he's doing right now. Yes, we are concerned for the Jews' safety, but yes, we also have to understand what the claims are. Claims are fine. You and I have no qualms with claims. What we have what we have qualms with are calls to insurrection and revolt and rioting and genocide, which is what's going on here. Do you have time for one more segment, or do you got to run?
Sure.
Because there's so much in here that I want to talk about the nonsense of these PSAs that say if you see something, say something. Because you and I were rocked for different reasons by Fort Hood in 2009, a classic if you see something, say something that didn't happen. Well, it's not like we have to look hard to see something. They're broadcasting to us with their messaging through megaphones and flashing lights. Where's the do something after the saying of something? Can we talk about that when we come right back? Dr. Zudi
Absolutely.
Jasser, thank you. Dr. Zudi Jasser is my guest. He is a candidate for Congress. Help him out and check him out. His website, z4az.com. Welcome back to the Seth Liebson Show. If you're on hold, I will get to you in a moment. Dr. Zudi Jasser has generously been able to give us just a little bit more time, candidate for Congress in Congressional District 4 here to take out Greg Stanton. Z4AZ.com is his website if you want to help him out. Got a great list of endorsements, everyone from Charlie Kirk and Glenn Beck to Hugh Hewitt and myself, it's a wide brand of conservative thinkers are behind this great conservative thinker. Dr. Jasser, before I get to the see something, say something farce, there's another farce I wanted to just get your quick take on. It's hard to keep up with it all, I know, but it's this farcical organizations that claim to be speaking out on behalf of civil rights. I saw, for example, a post by CARE Arizona. CARE Arizona saying, support the resistance. For Palestine, we must fight. For Gaza, we must win. For all of us, and because of the Palestinian resistance, we will win. And then it says, glory to the martyrs. Glory to the martyrs. What is resistance, and who are the martyrs to CARE? Zudi, can you translate that for us from the English to the English?
Well, the English to the English is the supremacist mindset of the Islamists, where they are the only human beings and everybody else is subhuman, and therefore our complaints are not to be taken legitimate. And at the end of the day, and I was going to say this as part of our discussion on the PSAs and is that the same conversation is about protected classes. The whole conversation, where did wokeism come from? And, you know, as you and I have talked many times, I was basically taught, I didn't use the word wokeism, but I was talking about it to Congress in 2011 in testimony at Homeland Security, where we said, listen, many of us are being canceled from speaking about Islamism being the problem, not terrorism, and we're being told that we were anti-Muslim, et cetera. And really what it was about was equality, but equality in the mosque didn't matter.
Right.
If women were relegated to the back behind the curtains, that's okay. Obama would go to the mosques and talk to them, but the women would be behind curtains. That doesn't matter. They're not the protected class inside the mosque. The protected class are the Muslim minority in America as a tool for the left's identity politic, for the left's skin-deep diversity and not really ideological diversity. Same thing here in Phoenix. We had an honor killing where an Iraqi dad drove and killed his daughter because she had the temerity to want to date and be Western. And I can tell you so many women's rights activists in our Muslim reform movement try to get the attention of the police, try to get the attention of FBI, and tell them, listen, the men in the community are torturing us. They're doing, you know, honor abuse against us. And they didn't want to listen. They didn't want to expose that because it would jeopardize the protected class nature of these Islamist groups. And this is the problem, is that ultimately now we're seeing sort of a sonic boom effect of all these protected classes that redefine resistance, redefine, just like they did with George Floyd and others. They redefine what actually is lawlessness and lawfulness. And everything's upside down. Free speech becomes actually advocating genocide,
yeah,
advocating terrorism, while those of us who talk about equality and diversity, where we want to be able to have free speech to defend, you know, every faith group, not just their faith group, their identity politic. So everything's upside down in their world because it doesn't serve the purpose of collectivism or wokeism.
Thank you for that. When CARE says glory to the martyrs, martyrs isn't a word everyone knows, but they're talking about suicide killings. They're talking about terrorists who die committing acts of terror. That's what a martyr is, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the part that just, I can't tell you how much it breaks my heart to know that they are taking a faith, you know, a faith ideology and taking the horrific crimes committed on October 7 and saying that those are martyrs.
Yeah.
They're saying that the folks that killed themselves, the Al-Qaeda, you know, the cartoon that was made most sense was after 9/11, there was a cartoon that showed the 9/11 terrorists going to hell and saying, wow, we thought we were going to be going to heaven and having, you know, 72 virgins
or something. Yeah, right.
Yeah, and the reality is that this is why we worked on reform, is that the militants say that their martyrs are actually the satanic worshipers of our faith. Yeah. And the bottom line is this is why, you know, we need such deep reforms to happen. And to them, anyone who, no matter what reason, they dismiss it and give it an explanation, it's the "we condemn terror but" crowd.
Yeah.
That butt crowd now turned into basically advocating for Al-Qaeda, which after in 2002 and 3 and 4, nobody would have even thought about that, even though we heard a lot of it happening.
No, we have professors saying, "I am Hamas." It would be equivalent to saying in 2002, "I am Al-Qaeda," or 2003 or 2004, and no one wants to do anything. That's why I think these "see something, say something" ads are a fraud. They sound very much like Nadal Hassan when he was at Bethesda Naval before they moved him over to Fort Hood. And all those fellow doctors, remember after Fort Hood, they were all saying, well, we kind of thought we should say something, but we didn't want to be accused of bigotry. That's what they said.
And the substance of what you and I are talking about now, and what we warned about this 15 years ago and 10 years ago, is that as the more extreme becomes tolerated, you ultimately are going to lead to a powder keg where our society is going to be torn apart from within, where you have the good versus evil, where you have the moral folks that haven't lost our compass versus those who have lost their compass that ultimately will end up in a war. Mm-hmm. So if we don't want that to happen, this is why I'm running for Congress, is that we need folks that still have clarity of why our families came here, why America is the world's last best hope, why we're the shining city on a hill. We're not the great Satan. We are the world's hope. Those need to be in Congress, as Ilhan Omar was at one of these rallies just a few weeks ago or a few days ago.
Yeah.
And ultimately excusing all of it as some kind of explicable reality for them, which is evil. It's just pure and simple.
Did you see her daughter who was arrested was complaining about Zionist fire hoses? Do you know what the fire hoses were? They were the sprinkler system that was turned on the grass. That was a fire hose. That was Zionist sprinklers. Did you know there were Zionist sprinklers?
No.
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 That's what we're dealing with here, Zudi Jasser. We need you in Congress to take on Ilhan Omar. We need you in Congress to take on the Squad and the Progressive Caucus. The Progressive Caucus, which has grown from 4 to over 100 people, that's why we need you there. I'm so thankful for your candidacy and for your willingness to do this. Let me give you your information out to the audience one more time. Z4AZ.com. is his website, and follow him on Twitter, X as well, DRZ for AZ. This is a one-in-a-million kind of candidacy and a one-in-335-million kind of person. Dr. Jasser, God bless you and Godspeed to you, sir.
You too. Thanks so much, Seth. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Go get him. 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. Quite yet? Am I on now? Okay. Taylor Tomlinson is making her highly anticipated return to Encore Theater at Wynn Las Vegas with back-to-back shows Friday and Saturday, June 7th and 8th this year. On the heels of the recent debut of her late-night comedy show After Midnight on CBS and her recent Netflix special, Have It All, Tomlinson will be performing Taylor Tomlinson live in Las Vegas at the intimate one-of-a-kind venue. Known for her quick wit, carefully honed act-outs, and a ruthless appetite for laughs, she is undeniably hilarious. our show, The Seth Leibson Show, is happy to be giving away a pair of tickets to her upcoming June comedy shows at Wynn Las Vegas, along with up to $500 in travel expense reimbursement. For your chance at a pair of tickets to Taylor Tomlinson live in Vegas on either June 7th or 8th, plus up to $500 in travel reimbursement, call us right now at 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. And if you're the caller on line 5, you'll win those tickets. Just give my producer, young David, David Dahl, your contact info and let him know which day you'd like to attend. Let's go to John in Peoria. Hi, John.
Hey, Seth. How are you?
It's been a while. I'm fine. How are you?
Yeah, it has been. Oh, I'm hanging in there, buddy.
Good.
First, question one, I didn't tell the screener this, but I was just wondering how the rabbi's son, that's Rabbi Alusha.
Yeah, he's doing fine. Thank you for asking. I'll make sure he knows that you had asked an inquiry.
Well, my cardiologist goes to the congregation there.
Oh, okay. Great.
Yeah, he was surprised that I knew.
It's a very small community, as it turns out. A community of the civil.
You're truly true. You're right there. Yeah. Forgive me and cut me off if I'm not doing it. These pinheads at the Arizona Republic. Did you see the paper today?
I did, but I don't know. You know, it's weird. They have different. Did you know this? That there are different issues for different parts of the region of Arizona. So tell me what you saw.
They blasted this headline like it was like the world was at the end. The big, huge, bold letters: Trump or false. Electors indicted. Mm-hmm. And then underneath it, another big headline, House kills the old abortion bill.
Those
are the two most important. I'm thinking to myself, who cares? I mean, who cares, Seth, especially the one with the am I wrong? With the false electors or fake electors?
The fake elector thing is their phraseology, of course. None of them have been indicted for fraud, false statements, or manipulating any kind of evidence, even though they are mentioned and referenced in the special prosecutor Jack Smith, special counsel's Jack Smith's indictment against Donald Trump. And what's weird about this, so if what they did was a crime, why hasn't Smith indicted them is the question I'm raising. But, you know, behind it all is a fairly innocuous thing. So the Trump campaign was launching investigatory lawsuits on the integrity of the election. And in the meantime, Joe Biden's electors were the certified electors. Well, okay, but what if those lawsuits, they didn't, but what if they were to pan out? You know, if Nixon were to engage those such things against Kennedy, it might have panned out. You know,
Florida
panned out. Ohio didn't pan out, but the Democrats tried to overturn it. The point being this, and Van Jones of CNN himself has talked about the importance of having alternative electors in 2016 for the Clinton team. So the point is, if those lawsuits were credible or did pan themselves out, you needed something other than Biden electors. Well, here they were. That's the crime.
Yeah. Let me ask a question. Well, why is our attorney general here in the state of Arizona pursuing this nonsense?
Because she's lawless. She's lawless.
Okay.
This is the same attorney general who is deciding which laws to enforce based on her ideological preferences, not what the voters of Arizona have enacted as the state laws for her to enforce. She's just totally lawless and lost. I have to take a commercial break. Can you stay with me and we'll come to you on your main point when we come right back? I appreciate you, John. Thank you, sir. Okay. And everyone else on hold, we'll get to you, too. Be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. I'll explain why we came in with that music in just a moment. John in Peoria, let me let you finish up with your point, if you will, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Seth. And then real quick, and then I'll wish you well.
Thank you.
I'll say it, and then I'll let you go.
Go right ahead.
Take it over. there's one small glimmer of hope in relationship to the sickening things that are going on these campuses with these sickening kids. At least the police departments in Texas, because I read a story in Texas and in Georgia, are taking care of business.
And in Florida and in Louisiana. Yeah, exactly.
They're taking care of business. So that's encouraging.
Yes, it is. Yes,
and I'll just leave it at that.
Good.
And you know what I mean by taking care of business.
Taking care of business, exactly. We do it every day. And wasn't that on Elvis Presley's neck chain, taking care of business? Speaking of music, one of the great musicians we are blessed to have in our community is my old trumpet teacher, Greg Smith, calling back. Greg, hello. How are you, sir?
Very well. How are you, sir?
I am fine. You called
yesterday.
The other day, and we had to abbreviate the conversation, so I apologize for that. So thanks for calling.
You sure this is how you want to end your day?
Well, it's the middle of my day. How many days in a day do you have? I have 3 days in a day. I have my mornings. I have several days in a day. So you don't.
Okay.
Yeah. My sense is you do too, as a musician and as a teacher and as a husband and everything else. All right, Greg Smith, help me out here. So the question originally set was,
yes,
in the music business, which you are well familiar and practitioner of and in.
Well, there are many others that are.
Oh, you did pretty well, my friend. You did. People have. Ray Charles might be a name people know. When you have someone who gets a lot of attention, money, and esteem, like Herb Alpert, who's an, at best, I think fair to say, at best average horn player, and he's backed up on a song like Casino Royale by someone like Bud Brisbois, who is an out-of-this-world kind of trumpet player. What is their thought process? Is Bud thinking, how did he get the headline? Is Herb Alpert thinking, how does Bud play like that? I guess maybe it's not. I was thinking like the Eagles had at one point Joe Walsh and Don Felder, and I guess it didn't work out because they were about the same in talent. But when you have like a Herb Alpert, Bud Brisbois kind of contrast, it's, I don't know, it's a Volkswagen against a Ferrari, isn't it?
Well, sure. You know, but I mean, they were, you have to, you of all people, I mean, you know, popular music, you know, better than most humans I know. It's just amazing. I mean, your BMI and ASCAP bill must be off the chart.
You should see how they spell ASCAP on my bill. Okay, go ahead. Old joke. Go ahead.
Okay.
All right,
yeah.
Go ahead.
But anyway, I mean, you should know that, I mean, the appeal for Herb Alpert was, what's the word I'm looking for? People liked it. Yeah. I mean, my mom, you know, had the albums. You know,
sure.
I remember staring at them, you know, looking when I was a kid. You know, Whipped Cream and Other Delights.
Oh, yes,
and
we all had that. That was the Farrah in the red suit before the red bathing suit and Farrah, right? Right.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I mean, so, there's a lot of appeal there. The tunes were very accessible. That's the word I was looking for. They're so accessible. His style, and I think what we got cut off last time, his style, I was having a split personality moment when you sent the text to ask me about this, because I was learning, as I said, a Blue Mitchell trumpet solo on a tune called Strollin'.
Yeah.
And I'm listening very closely, as I for hundreds and hundreds of trumpet players and musicians, for that matter, very closely to their style and everything. And then you hit me with this question about Herb Alpert, and I said, okay, well, you know, if I'm going to do this with Blue Mitchell, I'm going to really study how Herb Alpert plays.
Okay.
And like I told you, like what my wife said, she's, you know, he sounds like a soggy noodle.
Yeah, so. A wet noodle, right, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so, but, you know, that style, his recording, on that recording, if you listen really closely, he's very close to the microphone, and all the other really great studio musicians are in the background so far, you know, there's like they're in another room almost. So, but he was able to blend all that together, and the production on those recordings is fantastic. You know, I'm guessing there's probably most of the, very likely many members of the Wrecking Crew.
Yeah,
that were playing
certainly
all
they
that
were.
Stuff.
And, certainly there were.
Yeah, including probably Hal Blaine and Carol Kaye and Glenn Campbell,
right.
Maybe
all of them. Yeah,
and then, you know, and of course Bud Brisbois, who, by the way, you know, died here in Scottsdale.
Used to sit in with Mesa Community College's ensemble, didn't he?
Yeah, with Grant Wolf's band, and he was affiliated with the Young Sounds.
Yep.
And, you know, tragic death here. And he quit trumpet for a while. He was selling Porsche automobiles for a while, you know. So
I should have said Volkswagen v. Porsche, not Ferrari.
Yeah, exactly. And if he were still alive, he'd be around 87 right now. So, but his
Do you think there was a would you say the same thing about, like, Chuck Mangione and, I don't know, like a Jeff Tysick or something? I mean, Chuck is a little better than Herb Alpert, but it's, you wouldn't tell a student to sound like that, right?
Oh, you mean you're comparing those three?
Yeah. Like Jeff Tysick was his backup trumpet player, and he did the high stuff on, like, Children of Sanchez, and Chuck kind of fumbles
around. Okay, sure, yeah. I mean,
it's a similar kind of dynamic. He had Chuck Mangione found a sound, right? He wasn't a great virtuoso player.
Exactly, and made it palatable to the masses, you know, and, you know, popular. Yeah. So you got to hand it to him in that regard that he, you know, he made it for instrumentalists, you know, something fun to play and listen to and study.
And popular,
and just like you pointed out, you know, and think about, gosh, you know, who are those people in the background that are so good as well? So,
But he did, they did both. That's a fair point you're making too, though. They popularized the instrument. I suppose Al Hurt did too. I was surprised. You know, but he actually was, I think it's fair to say, a very great trumpet player. Would you agree with me? Al Hurt was a great trumpet player. I think he was.
But they
all three of them popularized it in a way that few others did, regardless of their talent.
Sure. You know, and you know, Herb Albert's rich.
Yes, I mean, I would say so. Yes, he is rich. From a garage to the 405 on Gallup, right? Isn't that where I don't know where A&M is now?
Sure, 28 albums in the top 200 on Billboard, and 5 number one albums. Yeah. You know, so you got to hand him. You got to hand him that. I mean. And like I said, you know, as a kid, my mom used to put those records on. I'd sit there and listen, and I'm surprised I'm not more influenced by them to this day. Well, maybe I am. Who knows? I'll have to ask my buddies.
Or ask your wife. Maybe you can just go out for some Italian.
Oh, no.
Just go out for some Italian and you'll be good.
I don't want to be the soggy noodle. No, please. Don't let me be the soggy noodle.
Greg Smith, you're a treasure. You're a dear friend and you're a good sport for calling in. Thanks.
Likewise, Seth. Always great to talk with you and talk music. I know we'll pick this up. I mean, this is, like I said, been an ongoing thing.
Yeah, we've been doing this for 40 some years now, haven't we?
Yeah, going back and forth, you know. And you still don't get it.
I know. I still have all my bad habits. Well, you are a great teacher. Thank you, Greg. You're a good friend too. A great friend as well. Thank you, sir.
All right. You enjoy the rest of your evening. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you.
We'll keep listening.
God bless you. Thank you, Greg. That was fun. Portions of this show are brought to you by our good friends at YRefi. They have a secure investment in a collateralized portfolio where you can earn up to a 10.25% fixed rate of return. That's right, 10.25% fixed rate of return, and it's not correlated to the stock market or the Fed. With YRefi, they invest in you. You can take income, you can turn your income off, you can compound it, whatever you like. With YRefi, there's no attack on principal if you ever need your money back. There are absolutely no fees. Of course, you get a monthly statement with no surprises. Check them out at investyrefi.com. That's invest, the letter Y, then R-E-F-Y.com. Or give them a call at 888-YREFI-24. You can also visit them in person if you like. Their offices are on Chauncey Lane in North Phoenix. I've been there a million times. If you do go, you won't get a sales pitch. No one will be asking you to sign anything. They leave the sales pitching up to people like me. If you don't go visit them in person, investyrefi.com. I had something. Oh, yeah, Greg Smith. Did you enjoy that?
I did. I always appreciate it when somebody else can remedially educate you, because I do my darndest, but sometimes I need some reinforcements.
He was a heck of a great teacher to me. Heck of a great trumpet player. He was lead trumpet for Ray Charles. Do you know how big a deal that is? That's not slouch work.
I like that Christmas album. Is he Ray on that one?
I'm not sure which one he's on or which ones he's on. Ray Charles had different horn players in different sections, but to be at that level is you have to know what you're doing and be able to do it and do it really well. So I was privileged to have him. Anyway, that was a lot of fun. He disagrees with us on the Glen Campbell Big Red Chewing Gum commercial. So it just goes to prove not all teachers are always right, but, you know, deserving of respect nonetheless, because they're mostly and usually right. Anyway, do you have that Whipped Cream and Other Delights album cover?
Do I have the LP?
You should get that in your wall. You have a great wall of memorabilia. That would be a great one to have.
But then I'd never play it if it stays on the wall.
Well, just the cover. Just the cover.
The lady?
The whole cover.
Yes.
Have you seen it?
Yes, a lady.
Look up the story behind it. It's quite a great cultural story, the whole modeling experience of her and how it came to be. It's a nice piece of memorabilia. What year would that have been? 65-ish?
Oh, gee, I don't know. Guess. Yeah.
We'll know soon. All right, Sam Stone coming right up.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.